Turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus, please. Genesis, Exodus. For the leadership, it's in the Old Testament. For the rest of you, you know where it is. Yes. Okay. Someone on Friday night, I was just reminded, someone on Friday night left a bag with some goodies inside of it. And it's Vince, have you got it? So if you know who you are, please see Vince. He's got the bag. It's not a handbag. It's a shopping bag with $500 in it and gold watch. Obviously, no one here, else you would have got mobbed, dude. So today we're going to end the series we're doing, which is. Now, come on now, man. Behold your God. There we go. We've got to get a little bit excited about our God. And then we're going to do something. We're going to start a new series next week. And a friend of mine told me a little while ago that someone came to him in his church and said, "Man, you're always preaching about Jesus. What's that all about?" So we're going to start a new series next week called, and some of you might remember the words to this song if you're as old as I am. We used to sing it at morning assembly in church, at school. I know, those days are long gone, I'm afraid. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. There we go. Some of them get it. Yeah, there we go. Dean's all excited. I can see it, eh? So we're going to start a new series next week, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's going to be all about? Jesus. Well, okay, so let's get to this morning. And just closing this series, I want to talk about God Almighty, the Omnipotent. And we're looking at Exodus chapter 5, verse 22. But before we read there, I just want to pass on some things, if you remember. In the first one, I think we did, we spoke about the names of God. And we had this, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest redemptive name ever to be revealed. Remember we spoke about God, Elohistic, God redemptive, God in creation, God in redemption, and what that all meant. Ever to be revealed because it comprehends in a triune name all the compound redemptive names of Jehovah. It is the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that God meets every need of man in redemptive power. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's ordained Redeemer, and all Old Testament redemptive names point to and find their consummation in His redemptive name. It is the name of the Godhead bodily. It is a triune name for the triune God. Because we were talking about God in the Old Testament, taken over into God in the New Testament, God in the Old Covenant, God in the New Covenant. We live in a new dispensation because of Almighty God. And when He sent His Son Jesus, He also sent God, because Jesus is fully God and fully man. And I know we separate the three, and we talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they are still one, and we need to remember that. And Jesus came, and remember we talked about God being El Shaddai and Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah this and Jehovah that. But in the New Testament, Jesus encapsulates all of that for us. Amen, Mark. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Go, Mark, yes. And what we have to remember also is God is interested in the details. We think God out there, big God, hanging around, doesn't really know who I am. And before we start reading this morning, I want to show you a quick little thing about how we need to listen to God and pay attention to what He says, because He's in the details. God is in the details. He really is. Sometimes we treat God as if He's not there. We acknowledge sort of He's there, but we treat Him like He's not. For instance, if Stephen Harper, Prime Minister of our country, invited you personally, sent you a gilt-edged invitation to come to tea with him, and the media were there, and there were a couple of other people, and it was just you, going along. Can you imagine? Just think for a moment. You got an invite from Stephen Harper to go to tea. You go, I'm not going to that thing. No way. You're going to go out and you're going to... I'm going to Stephen's house. And when you get there, you walk inside and you greet everyone. He's sitting over in the corner and he's receiving guests. And you walk in and you go up to the cookie table or the eats and you take your little plate and you sit and munch. And the media there and they're filming everything. And they say, do you know Stephen Harper? And you go, yeah, I know about him. Do you acknowledge that he's here? Oh, yeah, no, this is his house. Amazing house. Wow, the guy's got to earn big bucks to have this house. You see the cars in the driveway. Wow, that's nice. And the media can't leave you alone, and you come back again, and you carry on, and you have tea, and you talk to everyone else, and you look, and you don't even pay him attention. You've acknowledged that he's there. You've come to his house. You've eaten at his table. But you don't acknowledge he's there. Sad news is that's how we treat God sometimes. We eat at his table, we come to his house, we sing and then we dance around with everyone else, but we don't acknowledge that he's there. He is God Almighty, omnipotent. Let's go to Exodus chapter. I should get there first. Hey? If you're there, say, I'm there. Okay. So now I'm going to ask you to go back to Exodus chapter 3. Verse 18. This is just a quick little intro lesson to get to where we're going. I'm going to try and do this quickly. So Moses has been introduced. God has introduced himself to Moses. And he's told him, how will I know who sent me here? And you remember he said, I am that I am. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. You can read that in a few verses above. And remember that God is not really God's name. His name is Yahweh. That's what his name is. I am who I am. I will be what I will be. And we spoke about all that clever stuff about how theologians have described God in the Old Testament to give him names so that we can understand it. And we use the word anthropomorphic. I'm just throwing that out there to show you that I can read. Anyway, I'm hoping that when we finish this series that you would have a deeper revelation of God. You will walk in more reverence, more understanding, more, not fear because you want to be fearful, but fear of a holy God and understanding that he loves you so much. And Chris did the whole thing. God is love, God is light, God is spirit, and God is fire, yes, and consuming fire. And Kevin last week spoke about who do you say that I am? So reading, right. And now God's talking to Moses. And they will listen to your voice, verse 18. Listen carefully to the words here, because this is important. God's interested in the details. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, pay special attention, has met with us, and now, pay special attention, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And so what he says to him, he says, okay, Moses, you and the elders, you're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to say, the Lord God, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, because remember they'd never been called Israelites or Israel yet, says, please let us go for a temporary moment in time to worship the God. And see how well Moses listens. Chapter 5, verse 1. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that you may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. No politeness, no following the words of God, didn't take himself and the elders. He just decided he was going to go in this. And he comes to the king and says to the king, let my people go. And you know how many sermons have been preached in there? Let my people go. and we preach and let my people go. But that wasn't what God said. We have to be interested in the details. So now we read a little bit. So if you're a Pharaoh, would you get a little bit irritated? Yeah. To my slaves, who are you? Didn't explain who the Lord God is. Just says, Lord God of the Israel says. Well, Pharaoh like, yeah, right. I don't know who that dude is. I don't know who he is. So now we get to chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 22. We're going to read down into chapter 6. Then Moses turned to the Lord, because Pharaoh got was mad and miffed. And Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to these people? Because remember, Pharaoh then increased things and made things even worse for them. Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people and have not delivered your people at all. So he had this confrontation with Pharaoh. And sometimes we have to know that before liberation comes, before freedom comes, there's some trials that we need to go through. But the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses, said to him, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am who I am. I am who I will be. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, which means I appeared to them as El Shaddai. I am the sustainer. I am the provider. But by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of promise, the promise keeper God, the one who I will be what I will be, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. So therefore, the people of Israel, I am the Lord. And then God goes on his six I wills in this passage of how he will redeem his people. And I'm just reading this to give us a foundation, because you're probably wondering now, what's this got to do with God Almighty, the Omnipotent? Well, give me time, I'll explain. He says, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you into freedom, number one. And I will deliver you from the slavery to them. Number two, deliverance. He'll deliver them. Number three, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. You will become a possession to me. And I will take you to be my people. I'm going to give you some identity. And I will be your God, and I will take ownership, and you will be my people. And know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Number six, and I will bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, an inheritance to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give you for a possession. I am the Lord. So now those six little things, that's probably another sermon some other time. But I want us to look at this morning that this promise-keeping God who revealed himself for the first time to Moses and now is saying, I'm revealing myself to the people. There are three things that the omnipotence applies about him or implies about him that we need to see and understand. Number one is his purposes will be accomplished. He might say to Chris, no, let's use me because Chris might take me literally. Mark, you need to do this and go that and give up. And I was just thinking this morning, I had a nice comfortable pastorate in South Africa. I was very comfortable there. We blah, 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 blah. And he said, I want you to hand this all over, give this all up and go to this other country called Canada. I said, yes, sir. And if I'd said no, he would have said, okay, step aside, my boy. Pete, I want you to go to Canada because I have a purpose and a plan for those people in Canada. And that naughty, disobedient guy, they wouldn't listen to me, so I'm going to send you instead. But his plans and purposes will be accomplished. We have the joy of being part of that. And when he speaks, we can jump in and say, yes, Lord, I want that. I want to see your omnipotence in my life. His purposes will be done. He will bring us freedom, deliverance, identity, ownership, and inheritance. He is a father of providence and a covenant keeper. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Just going back a little bit, King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And he calls Daniel and he says, I've asked all my wise guys about this dream. I don't know what it is. And this wasn't a happy dream because it meant that Nebuchadnezzar, if he wasn't obedient and didn't understand things, everything was going to be taken away from him. You can go and read it in Daniel chapter 4. But just for time's sake. So anyway, he tells them the dream and explains it in fear and trembling. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, great one, my boy. Love it. Don't know what it means, but I ain't listening to you. And then Nebuchadnezzar one day walks out onto his palace balcony and he thinks to himself, wow, look at my kingdom. Look what I have built. Look what I have done. Guys in business, ladies in business, do not say, look what I have done. Look what I have built. Look how smart I am. Because you see in the words, he says, the words were no sooner out of his mouth, and he lost everything. And he said he would become like a raving ox eating grass, and his hair would be wet all the time. And the scripture says it grew as long, the hair grew as long as eagle's wings. And he was out of his mind. And after a while, 7 years it took, scriptural, and it says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised Him and honored Him, who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, what have you done? We cannot stand against God. We cannot say, oh, that's a good idea, God. I've got another one. Do you want to hear it? No. I have a plan and I have a purpose and my will be accomplished. You can partner with me. And that's again, we don't sort of, God doesn't partner with us for our ideas. We partner with God. And we follow God. And we listen to what God says. Because He is God Almighty, the Omnipotent One. Secondly, this sounds very selfish. He does whatever He pleases. He's my God. Would I want to? No, you can't. My boy. No, God can do whatever He pleases. You know, one of the worst lies we can tell our children and tell one another, it's from the pit of hell, listen to me carefully, you can do whatever you want. Don't worry, my boy, don't worry, my girl, you can be whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. It's a lie. I'll tell you why. As an example, Bridget used to have a recruiting business, one of the businesses that she owned. And a guy came in, he was looking for a job. And she just threw it out there, trying to find out where he really wanted to go as a career. And he had glasses that were like 3 times thicker than mine. And he sat there and looked at her. He said, what do you want to do? And his daughters wistfully stared into the mist. He said, I would love to be an airline pilot. Well, dude, with your eyesight, you ain't ever going to be an airline pilot. We cannot. We are bought at a price. We are sold to the King and the kingdom. And He comes and says to us, this is our, and all the plans and purposes He has for us. Don't worry, my boy, you can be the Prime Minister of this country. The kid's battling to get through grade 12. You are setting them up. It's narcissistic in its least. You're setting them up for failure. Set them up for success. Speak life into their lives. Don't go into la la land. You can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. I cannot be whatever I want to be. There are a number of you in this room who probably got double my IQ. Hello. 2 times 0s. Yeah. It's my friend. But that's the truth. some guys have been gifted by God with business acumen, entrepreneurship. Some are called to many different things. You can't do whatever you please. Anyway, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. We get that. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God for me. What is good and acceptable and perfect. His will is good, acceptable, and perfect. My will is second, bad, Z, best. Because if you've got hundreds of ideas, you know, we often say, is this a good idea or is this a God idea? It needs to be a God idea. It might be a good idea, but it just might not be a God idea. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I have a cousin. He's 60-something now. When he was growing up, his parents were like that. My boy, you can be whatever. And he was really gifted. Musically, he was gifted. He was very smart at school, got A's in school. He was a top sports guy. He's just one of those, God said, yeah, you have all this stuff. And I'm standing here going, can I have some of that? And God just gifted him amazingly. But his parents were like, my boy, you can be whatever you want. Whatever you want. And they just pumped and pumped and pumped and pumped this into him. So by the time he got to 14, he thought he could walk on water. And for 25, 30 years of his life, you know, when you get to high school and you go to grade 12, hello, real world. It's a whole kettle of fish out there, very different. He couldn't handle life. So for 3 years of his life, he spent smoking pot and standing on his head in an ashram. Because I want to be whatever, and I'll just, you know, watching the guys play the Wimbledon final. I can do that. I said, no, you can't. You don't even know which end to hold a racket. He says, no, it's easy. See, they just go, tah. I was like, I just gave up with him eventually. But he just lived this narcissistic life. Didn't help him. You can do... Oh, anyway, I'm going out too much. Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other God. Oh, but what about this God, and this religion, and that God, and these gods, and those gods? No, they're not God. They might be little g-gods, mute idols, and shapes of things, and flowers, and sun, and moon, and stars, and those are our gods, and those who we worship, and we've been. But God says, there is no other God. And if He's God Almighty, the omnipotent God, the mighty creator of the architect of the universe, and He says, there is nobody else, just me. I'm going to follow that. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. God will accomplish it. And I know sometimes you might be saying, oh Lord, I've been waiting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. When am I going to get the breakthrough in this thing? When is this thing going to happen? It will happen. If God has ordained it, it will happen. Be encouraged. Because he lives out of time and space, but we want to time frame. I'm 28 this year. I'm 29 next year. By the time I get to 30, I'm so old. That was one of my cries. God, why'd you wait all these years before you called me into the ministry? I could have done so much more. And he said, you're like Caleb, my boy. And then Caleb, when I studied Caleb, and he was like, yeah, Caleb's my boy. Which means dog, by the way. Anyway. Anybody whistling me, I'll set Chris on you. His power is superior to all others' powers. You know, everything... I don't want to lose my place here. Just go to Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. Who accuses them night and day before our God? Oh, the devil's just attacking me and he's making me do this. He can't make you do anything. Stop it. He's been thrown down. We live in victory. Do you remember when I said to you, it's like when you play the game of football and the other team loses and you're on the winning team and you're going, "Hee, give us the cup." And the other team is going, "Oh, that's unfair. They had too many good players on their team." That's what the devil's like. He's defeated, but he just comes and he whispers in your head, "You this, you that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're the other thing." And the problem is that we subscribe to the negative so much more easily than we subscribe to the positive. He is God Almighty. The enemy has been thrown down. For the accuser of our brothers has been, past tense. There we go, church. We bind you, Satan, we bind you, devil, we put you in the corner. Next week. We bind you, Satan. We bind you. We put you in the corner. I want to know during the week who came and unleashed him. Just work with me. It's some of the stuff where we just... It's churchianity stuff that we've learned. Oh, excuse me. That we learn. You know, spit zone. I feel the anointing, brother. We learn stuff. It's learned church behavior. Learn to think outside the box. What did God say? Is that godly? Is that in God's word? It's not, I'll promise you. Because then it would have been easy. Thousands of years ago, somebody would have bound Satan and stuck him in the corner and locked the box. When we were kids in Sunday school, we used to say, "The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Lock the door and throw away the key for all the dirty tricks he's played on me. I'm glad that I'm a Christian." You know, we teach in Sunday school. Jesus took the keys. He has the keys. He's given us the keys. Come on. His power is greater than the enemy's. Do you know who Satan is? Yeah. Taxi driver. Cool. Revelation 20:60. "Blessed and holy is the one who shares the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Jesus was the first one to rise from the dead in glory. And we have been given that. And one day we will rule and reign with him with power over death. Because he has given it to us, not because we got it ourselves. Every other enemy, every other little g, are counterfeits. Made up by the human mind and stuck there. And well, Mark, that's like powerful preaching, but when I get out here, the enemy's going to attack me. Yeah, he might try and stick something in your head. My saving scripture, James 4, verse 7. "Therefore, submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he has to flee from you," or he will flee from you. Present, past, future, participle, imperative, he's gone. When I submit myself to Almighty God. 3 things God Almighty means to us. We see, as I said earlier, he has many names and descriptions. But when we receive and understand the character and the attributes of God, Job 37:20 says, "The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is great in power." 1 Timothy 6:16, "Who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Now, I know some, we read scripture, we just read over it. Do you want to absorb that for a little while? He lives, God, in unapproachable light. He has never been seen or will be seen. When he comes, there is a total absence of darkness. There's not even a millimeter in the corner hiding away. Amazing God comes. And as I said to you last, I don't know when, he held it in the hand and he blew. and the earth was formed, and he spoke and was formed, and I said, if I had some earth in my hand, loops, it would just go all over the place and leave my hands dirty. And the same for you. But when God speaks, God Almighty, replies about himself. Let's look at it. Number one, reverence. We must have reverence for God. Don't treat him like the little scenario of Stephen Harper. Don't come along and just, well, you know, it's like when you first learned at school about hydrogen. Yeah, well, hydrogen's the air we breathe, and we get around to some of the more important things now. Oxygen. If oxygen was sucked out of the air completely, then it would sort of get quite important. You're like little fish on the ocean. When you see God as little or of no consequence, you think he's your bud, he's your sidekick, he's your grandfather. There's no sense or reverence in any of that. Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship, which means that for me, from time to time, there's worship that's not acceptable, with reverence and awe. And the only place in the Bible, and please, I'm not knocking any denominational people, there's only one place in the Bible you talk about reverend. In the King James Version, Psalm 111:9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. That's why I don't have the title of reverend, because there is only one who is reverend. Reverend is his name. And you can do the study and look through it and see that in the Middle Ages and all that became a title for the clergy and blah, 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 blah. But that was probably a good idea, not a God idea. The God idea is reverend is his name. You say, oh yeah, no, but we can just leave that alone. No, we can't. We want to be truly, fully Genesis to Revelation, full Bible theology people. It's gone very quiet in here. So, number two, God Almighty means to us his recompense. God brings the recompense. He is the only one who rewards the righteous, and the enemy of the righteous will receive their recompense. He will come with recompense. He will come with judgment, and he will come with rewards. And if you think your theology tells you, well, one day you're going to be judged at the great white throne judgment, you're not. Great white throne judgment is for those who have never acknowledged Jesus Christ. We will be given our rewards for the work that he has given to us to do here. Ephesians 2:10, I think it is. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's sort of, he's like a nice grandfather. When it all gets to the end, he's going to, he'll just say it's all okay. No, because then he's not a true and just God. So when you commit the crime, steal the car, and you stand in front of the judge, oh man, look how nicely he's dressed. A nice suit on, wow, had his hair cut. Shaved, very nice guy. Shame, man, just let him go. No. Those that oppose God Almighty will have their recompense. The total point of sheer madness is to come against the great Almighty God and omnipotent. I don't want to do things your way, God. I have a better way. You know what the first sign of an independent spirit is? Someone who always has another better idea. We think the church, God has shown the pastors, elders in the church, we're going this way. No, I think we should go this way. We're going to go do that. No, let's do this. Independent spirit. I have another idea. I have a better idea. Let me come to your work and let me come and stand in your office and say, dude, why are you doing that? Did you do it this way? I say, what do you know about my job? Get out of here. Anyway, number three, he is our refuge. He's a judge and jury, and he will be faithful to his word. But God is our refuge, and he protects us at all times. He is our refuge in the storms of life. We sing the songs, the psalms are there, the poetry has been written. We need to pay attention to some of it. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You don't understand, I'm having a tough time. Let me show you someone who's having a worse time than you are. You don't understand, this situation I'm in is terrible. Let me show you someone else who's in a worse situation than you. God is our source. God is our refuge. God is our recompense. God is the one in whom we can trust. I've told you before, don't trust in me. I showed you, look, clay feet. I will disappoint you. It's just a promise. I'm just promising you. I'll disappoint you somewhere along the line. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Let's just close. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom in a deeper sense. Not just freedom, well, I'm free from this, I'm free from death. I have liberty. There's joy, love, power, and freedom. The omniscience of God. The omnipotence of God. He is our refuge. If we can get this into our hearts and our minds, that he is our protector. He is everything to us. He is the one who loves us. Whether we have experiences small or large, they are all God ordained. I had a limp and, you know, God healed me. Well, what do you want? He's being who he is. You know, don't look at the small things. Someone in the supermarket that you are able to do a random act of kindness to. God is opening the door, and sometimes we are too. You know, when I used to preach in Madagascar, and I could see I was losing the crowd, there's one word in Madagasy that says, dala dala, which means I'm stupid. And so I'd make a mistake, and then I'd say, ah, dala dala. Ah, they're all off, and they're all back on track again. And sometimes we are dala dala. God's telling us, he's showing us. The door is 15 foot wide. And you're going, I wonder if God wants me to walk through that door. Bright sunshine, light coming down, birds twittering. Grass is nice and green, and you're going, let me go and pray about it. Let me think about it. But weeks before that, you're saying, Lord, give me an opportunity to witness for you. Lord, just give me an open door. Come on. Finally, when we finally believe, when you finally get it into your heart that this, behold your God, behold our God, behold my God, he is all encompassing in everything. He is everything. There's nothing, when it says all in English, in French, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, Sri Lankan, in tongues, it all means all. No variation. All. All means all. When we get that into our heads and our hearts, There is joy. There is peace. There is love. There is freedom in Christ Jesus. Behold your God, because He has made a new covenant for us to live in. It is His grace upon our lives. We don't live in the old covenant. We learn from it, but we live in the new covenant and His grace for us. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we bless your name. Holy are you, Lord God. We lift up your name, Father, and we declare our love for you. We're a little bit wild. We're a little bit over the top. But Father, we enjoy the life that you give us. Abundant life. And God, we want to show fruit in our lives of the love that you have for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our God. And we know there are no other gods. That we live in that truth. Blessed be your holy name. And all God's people said, Amen, amen.